DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you.
Samantha.
I am gonna have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
And I am Bryce.
And there
are Big Jim Willick.
Or as we like to call him, Uncle Touchy.
Uncle Tickles.
Uncle Tickles, yeah. Get it right.
I want to start this off by saying you two, thank you so much. You guys did a fantastic job
while
I was away. It was great episode. It was compelling. I listened to every word, which is really weird because usually when you guys talk, I just tune out.
Yeah. What?
No.
What?
Yeah. We both get that very much a lot more than others, so it's not an uncommon reaction when our voices start making words.
Yeah, but you guys were poignant. Jim, I seriously, man, you put up with a lot, and I'm very proud of you for standing up for yourself, and I'm sorry you got kicked in the teeth so much. That whole situation sucks.
Yeah, and it came to a head at the beginning of this week. They sent us out on a late night job, and it was at some tourist trap where we had to scrub the floors at these, like, the place was called the Country Cattle Village.
Aw, how quaint.
Yes, it's very quaint, and there's a lot of Amish people that live and operate around there, so seriously, you feel like you just walked through the TARDIS into some parallel universe where, you know, horse-drawn carriage is the chief form of transportation. And then, you know, they're going to find out where you keep your time machine, and then you're going to have to, like, you know, fight to escape a wooden prison and try and find your way back to civilization. But anyway, the company I was working for sold these jobs to this, or basically the company that wanted us to come out there. My company gave them, like, ridiculously cheap prices for everything. They were pennies on the dollar. So what should have cost several hundred dollars was, like, clean the stairway for $30, clean this hallway for $20, when it should have been, like, at least $150 to $200 for everything they wanted us to do. And where that screws us is we get commission based on those jobs. So we're splitting two ways 20% of $20, basically. So $4 split two, so $2 for an hour's worth of work.
Nice.
Well done, sir.
Yeah.
Hope you put half of that away.
Oh, of course. Well, I spent some on penny whistles and moon pies. we went down to the malt shop and got a phosphate. But no, at that point, I had had enough, and I was pulling like 12, 13-hour shifts, and, you know, they'd work us like dogs and totally underpay us. If anything ever went wrong, they'd throw us under the bus. So that night, the laundry, washed all my uniforms, walked in the next day. And, like, in my mind, I've got, like, this epic quit scene. You know, I'm coming up with, like, replies to their questions or how I'm going to tell them off and everything else. And I march in there, and no one's there. I'm like, actually, there that early was the dispatcher. So I just walked into the boss's office, dumped all my stuff on his chair, and I told him, like, when they get in, just let them know I'm done. That's it. And so the guy that was the dispatcher, Adam, really sweet guy, looks like Jesus, great sense of humor, and he's like, dude, I'm so sorry to see you go, but I completely understand. So best of luck to you. So we hugged a little bit, and then I just got out of there because I'm like, that's it, I'm done. So as of right now, I am without job, but I still have my pride, goddammit.
Good.
Well, the thing is you were, and seriously, it reminds me so much of my situation I dealt with in Montana. I've talked about that a bunch. But it's like you had one guy who was the heavy, one guy who was the hard ass, and then the guy who you really wanted to be the boss, the guy who sounded like he cares about his employees and wants to take, he's spineless.
Yeah.
He's completely spineless.
That's the thing, too, is any guy like that, I think the other bosses can smell it. And so all they do is they beat them down so they know that they've got them under their thumb. There was two brothers that were pretty much running that particular warehouse that I was at. And the one was actually a decent guy, but very spineless. And the other guy was, he had, like I call it, a little big man syndrome. So he had something that he constantly had to prove. And subsequently, that translated into kind of over-dominating, micromanaging, just browbeating whenever possible.
Clearly, he was the guy who got his butt cheeks taped in high school.
Well, that was going to be the one question that I was going to, you know, if we ever got into it, I'd be like, where is it? Where is it? He's like, where's what? I'm like, where's the elementary school that you peaked in, you piece of shit? I'm sorry that God only made you tall enough to suck my dick. But alas, you know, it was not to be. And, you know, I always got a feeling like whenever I get a chance to really just turn the screws on somebody, it's going to end up burning the wrong bridge. And, you know, I'll have to, like, you know, see town, put my duffel bag over my shoulder and start hitchhiking up the road like, you know, Bruce Banner at the end of, you know, every episode of The Incredible Hulk.
Hopping on the boxcar.
Yeah, I had a very similar situation happen to me over the last, well, 2 weeks. And it's just, it's one of those things that you have to tread carefully, you know. And when it first happened, my gut reaction was to just go off on this person. And I knew immediately that would be the wrong thing to do, so I had to, like, clamp down really hard and just let it go, let go of my anger, and then discuss it, you know, rationally, you know, because you don't want to piss off the wrong person, you know. And I've worked way too hard, built myself up too hard to blow it all over one freaking thoughtless email by someone. So
just stuff it down until it becomes cancer.
Exactly. I will be dead in a year. So.
Oh, don't say that. The way 2016 is going, nobody is safe.
Well, yeah, it's not over yet.
Here.
Yeah, exactly. 2016 is like the year of Deadpool. Someone needs to check his astrological chart because he's just wiping fools out left, right, and center.
2017 is going to start on this show with just Bryce sadly staring off into space.
it'll just be a live feed of our three graves.
And our wives standing over it with confused looks. Should I be happy? Should I be sad? I'm not really sure yet.
Not another afterlife podcast.
We'll be the first podcast from, well, let's face it, hell.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't all be going if we didn't get this fantastic group rate. So,
yeah,
stands to reason.
Live from the seventh level of hell, it's not another podcast.
Dante's podcast.
Okay, so as much as I want to try and stay away from it this week, there's no way we can. Did either of you catch the debates?
I successfully made it through 31 minutes before I just, like, I started shaking and nausea and everything else, and I started to black out. I just changed the channel. And I would pop back in here and there. But it just
and then that
be...
rage would just show pop right back up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much all I could take. Was
not only is he out of work, but he's out of a TV because he shot it.
Yeah, see, that's... I was going to try and watch it yesterday. I was going to try and go back and watch it. And every time I thought about Donald Trump talking, I said, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I cannot stand that motherfucker talking.
Now, I did not get a chance to watch any of it, but I did hear the highlights on Tuesday. And clearly, Hillary just wiped the floor with him, which I predicted was going to be one of two outcomes, and I'm very happy it was that. I'm still waiting to see if the other part of that prediction comes true and that he just backs out of the next two debates. Because he was very shamed, and a lot of interesting stuff
Google
has happened.
Google hid all the results, so it made him look bad.
Oh, yeah.
But all the other major polls that no one can find said that he won.
Yeah.
No, the fact-checkers had a field day just tearing
out. Oh, dude, yeah.
But, again, when you're
there
dealing with...
There were Bibles that, on fact-checks that I've seen.
But I
want to talk about just one specific thing that caught my attention... And I think we can have a little fun with this. And it's simply that Hillary called Donald out for not releasing his taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And his rebuttal was, I will release my taxes against my lawyer's wishes when Hillary produces the 33,000 emails.
Yeah.
Which is very childish. But here's what really caught me about the whole thing was that Hillary called him out, said he hadn't released his taxes, which would prove that he's been not paying federal taxes. And his response was, because I'm smart.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there was that. And then there was also a part where he was browbeating her because he said she had squandered or the presidency had squandered so much taxpayer dollars. And she said something like, well, you don't even pay taxes. And, then, just as an aside, it barely got caught. But he said those would have been squandered, too. Basically admitting the fact that he doesn't pay him. And, that's
what I want to talk about.
That's why he's under investigation.
Is he now... Did he basically admit to tax evasion?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
If he spoke those words, he admitted that he has not been paying his taxes.
So that means Wesley
Snipes... So all the people who support him... Yeah. All the people who support him support tax evasion. And Hillary called him out and says, like, okay, so you're not paying taxes. You're not helping to pay our soldiers. You're not helping to pay for veterans benefits. Like, all these things that he's, like, supposedly rallying for.
Yeah.
But he's not paying any part of, like, the rest of us.
No.
Why do people support this asshole? He's totally against everything they support. All the people who are, like, pro-troops.
He's against America.
Exactly. And it's like, and the thing is like it got caught, but no one's talking about it.
That
he's a tax fraud.
Yeah, plain and simple. That coupled with the fact that he says how all these jobs are going overseas and this and the other, when it's been
and he's leading the charge.
He's like, well, I take advantage of laws in other countries, and it's not against the rules. I'm just adhering to the rules of these other countries. So when he has his companies in like Indonesia where it's legal to pay people 30 cents a day, well, he's going to go over there because he can get all his stuff made, you know, hella cheap. And then, you know, beat his chest and talk about how much of a great American he is when the few Americans that he has employed, he doesn't pay them. And he has an army of lawyers that the one guy that Hillary referenced was the guy that designed one of his clubhouses on one of his many golf courses. And there was this video that was on YouTube or whatever, and this guy tells the whole story. He's like, I was a part of an architectural firm. I got approached by Donald Trump and his people. They told me what they wanted. I drew up this fantastic floor plan, did this presentation for him and his board members, and Trump gets up and he walks up to the big board that has the whole thing on it, draws this big, huge circle around it, and just writes, love it. So he's like, go ahead, do it, you know, make it happen. So the guy and his team, they build this gorgeous clubhouse. Trump comes out, sings his praises, all this, that, and the other. The guy thinks, you know, great, this is fantastic. Goes home, and he just waits for his payment, and it never comes. So
never
he starts having to hound Trump and his people to get paid for this whole thing. And so finally, he gets an offer, which was like, maybe like a third or a quarter of what was originally agreed upon. And the guy's just like, well, that's just not right. I mean, we agreed upon an amount. I did my job. Now it's up to you to pay for what it is that I supplied you with. And so he went back and forth, and finally he got word from one of Trump's lawyers that says, okay, we'll give you like... actually, they kept lowering the amount. Every time he would argue with them, the amount that they would be like, okay, well, now we're just going to pay you this. So ultimately, the guy is talking to Trump's lawyer. He's like, you know what you could do? You could take us to court. You could sue us. And odds are, you probably can't. But my job is to make sure that it takes as long as possible for you to get back every last one of those, every last red cent. So you either take what we offer or you walk away with nothing. And so this guy basically was bankrupt by Trump. And this is like just one of like thousands of stories where he's done the exact same thing.
Yeah. The other thing, too, that happened this week regarding Trump, and I saw this yesterday, and it made me giggle like a little Japanese schoolgirl. I'm seeing weird hand signals here.
I'm shutting off the video because we're getting some audio issues.
Okay. Yeah, this helps. Dan, we're not going to see a smiling face anymore.
Oh, we'll still see him.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't... Oh, there he goes. Okay, but the see, now I'm not distracted by that charming smile.
Uncle Tickles, fingers.
Stop touching me there.
It's the nose home.
Fox News. I hate Fox News. Fox News is a Republican slanted news organization. They never give middle of the road facts. It's always Republican slanted. I know, shocking. But
no, how dare you talk about Fox and Friends like that?
I will stand up and applaud Megyn Kelly this week. She took his campaign manager to task.
She's been the most centrist person on Fox, especially towards Donald Trump.
Here's the beautiful part, though.
No.
His Trump's new campaign manager, who is Kellyanne Conway, I believe is her name.
He fires everybody, so...
Well, she's the newest one. She's the one who's as crazy as he is.
Yeah.
And she was on with Megyn Kelly, I want to say Wednesday, it might have been Tuesday, I'm not sure exactly of the date. And she said, I don't understand why Hillary Clinton is hammering Trump about all these women. And Megyn Kelly said, well, because it's a campaign, and that's what you do.
Yeah.
You find a weakness and you exploit it. And Kellyanne was... no, that's, you know, he's never said anything about women. And Megyn Kelly went, are you serious? And just cited all this stuff over like 25 years worth of stuff. And Kellyanne Conway just like, no, that's
didn't
not.
Didn't happen.
No.
He's,
I was like,
great.
No, in his words,
he's
said.
Great about denying stuff.
And then there was that crap in the campaign, at the debates where he called out like one of the pageant
the
winners
Miss
for
USA
gaining
for
weight.
This,
and it's
universe.
Like. Are you fucking kidding me?
Did you see that he tweeted early this morning?
I saw this, yeah.
Slandering her again and telling people to try and find her sex tape.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is, and women support this fucking asshole. Yeah.
I have
It's insane.
It is so easy. We've talked about this on our religious shows. It is so easy to pick and choose the stuff that you want to support and ignore the rest.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think it's a huge mistake.
They're ignoring most of him.
Yeah.
And you can't do that because he is a person and he is going to do.
Look, okay, straight up. Hillary is flawed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's... But here's the thing. She's got, like...
She has experience...
40 years of political service from college.
So the one thing
she's
I
She's got
say,
the experience. She's made
smart.
Mistakes.
Yes, she has made some mistakes.
But she's... Here's something that she's done that I don't think I've ever heard any politician do. She's caught
she's
to
admitted
it.
To
she's
it.
Owned
yep.
it. She said, okay, yeah, using a private email server was a mistake. I took bad advice. I took some advice. I didn't follow through. I just asked one person.
There's
it was
a
fucked up.
A podcast.
The Benghazi shit, everyone wants to throw at her feet, but what could she have done?
Yeah. Nothing she could have done. Yeah. There's a podcast I listen to called Opening Arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bryce, you are a wealth of knowledge as far as podcasts go that
I
should all
to
be
a lot.
Listening to.
They did an episode about her emails and kind of from a legal standpoint, broke down why the FBI said what they did and why they didn't pursue any charges. And it was a really good episode, and it helped make you understand all of that.
Okay, number one, here's what I know of the email case and why it's throwing darts at a wall hoping something sticks. A lot of the stuff that they found, now she's admitted that classified stuff was in there. But a lot of the stuff that she emailed that was considered classified was classified after the fact. So the emails had already gone out and stuff before those topics were deemed classified. So, again, she's not in the wrong.
So,
you know, I mean, what can she do after that? Like, after it's classified, go, oh, remember that thing? Don't talk about it.
So, with that, there was classified information, quote-unquote. However, the emails were not correctly labeled that they were classified.
Mm-hmm.
So they generally, it sounded like there's a header at the top of it that says classified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they will have classified information in there with like a little C next to it. All the emails that the FBI went through, none of them had the classified header. but there was the occasional classified piece of information in it that had the C next to it.
But again, so these are the ones reasonable... that they were able to recover. They weren't able to recover all of them.
That's true.
So if, the, but, if there's even the, one that has classified on it and the other ones that aren't, I mean, when the...
It could be damning, exactly.
When the FBI was brought before the subcommittee that was in charge of reviewing the FBI's, you know, look into this whole thing, the FBI representative, you know, was being torn apart by these people, and they're just like, you know, if... Why is it that you would use anything other than a government-based email server so that things like this do not happen? And, you know, whether or not it was classified or not, you know, you're a politician. You know, it's not like you've got, oh, well, I don't want all my spam coming in from my cell phone carrier popping up at, you know, my government email folder. So she did screw the pooch on that massively.
Yeah,
and basically,
but again, she's copped to it.
Yeah, well, she didn't really have much of a choice because she was caught so dead, you know, dead square center.
Yeah, well,
but it's easy to cover that up because the same things happened with. Fuck, dude, the Bush campaign lost over 1 million emails.
Well,
classified material. Colin Powell.
Most secretaries of state in the recent history have used their own servers.
Yeah, but only Hillary's getting called out, and the reason is because the Republicans are afraid of her.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not saying Hillary is the best candidate for the job. Yeah. Of the two major parties, she is the best candidate for the job, simply based on experience.
Well, I mean, you put a turd next to anything, and you say, which one do you want to be taught?
I think you mean you put Donald Trump next to anything, and that automatically...
You
put Trump next to anything.
You put a Trump next to the turd, and the turd looks delicious.
Donald, just any Trump.
Yeah. You're like, well, you know, there's probably a lot of nutrients in that feces. Probably got a lot of... You can learn a lot from this turd.
We use it to grow crops. Yeah. I mean, it's way more useful than you've been.
But there, talking about Trump real quick, my mom, she still has a landline. And so, subsequently,
God bless her.
Here in Pennsylvania, there's still Trump has got a lot of followers. Like you wouldn't believe driving around town, how many?
He's very popular with the Amish.
Yeah, well, no, it's like you know, basically rich Americans, and there's a lot of them out here, especially in the Lancaster County area. He's actually going to be. He's here today. He's at this.
You're shitting me.
I shit you not. He is in. He is within, I'd say, probably 20 to 30 miles from where I sit currently.
Oh, my.
Please tell me you're going to go protest him.
Oh, yeah, because I like to get lynched.
dude, you're not black, what a you're coup fine. That would have been. Had we known, we could have sent him there and had him broadcast live from it.
I got something better, though. I got something better, because a while back, Ma got a phone call, and it was one of those automated messages. And so I hear her answer the phone, she's like, hello? And then there's a little bit of dead silence, and then I hear someone talking on the other line, and she just makes this disgusted face and hangs up. I said, who's that? And she said, Donald Trump. It was like automated sound bites of him, you know, like talking about how he's going to make this country great again and everything else. And it was an attempt to get her to donate to his presidential campaign, which, I mean, that's a whole other week. That's a whole other week of, you know, we could just go off on the whole, like, him taking money from campaign contributions and using that to pay off.
Dude, he's money laundering.
Yeah,
he's
flat out.
He's a fucking crook in the worst possible way.
I also saw another article about.
Hold on.
So, yeah, go ahead. Finish your story.
So I wanted to talk to him because I wanted to fuck with him, but my mom hung up. Actually, I got the phone from her beforehand, and Malia's like yelling at me. She's like, "Hang up the phone," or you know, whatever. So I hang up. I'm just like, "What is your problem?" She's like, "They're going to keep calling." I'm like, "I want them to keep calling." So, I mean, and I explained to her, I'm just like, until you give them any information, like any credit card information, they can't do anything. So finally she relents.
Yeah.
The other night the phone rings and it's Donald Trump's voice again. And it's like, Donald Trump is no longer able to fund his own campaign and needs your help. Contribute money to the Donald Trump presidential campaign, press one. So I'm like, oh, fuck, yes. So I press one. And a few seconds later, a young lady enters, and she's like, hello, my name is so-and-so.
Oh, Tell me it's the lady from that who tried to get you to sign up for the headshots and all that stuff.
Close, but you're getting in a little ahead. You remember the story I told about when the cable went out and how I created this Southern character to end up getting money off our bill and yeah, his name is Cleet, and Cleet's a good old boy.
Cleet.
Cleet Fuck Real Michelob is his full name, but I call him Cleet for short.
Michelob.
So this woman's like, hello, my name is so-and-so. Would you like to donate $100, starting off with a strong arm at $100 to the Donald Trump campaign? And immediately I slip into Cleet. I'm just saying, all right, God bless America. Thank you so much for calling. What was your name again? Marianne. Here's the thing. What do I get for $100? You know, do I get like a little swag bag or something? Do I get a little, you know, something like keepshakes? And she's like, well, for a donation of $25, you get a bumper sticker. I'm like, all right, well, that's good. But I mean, what if I gave $100? And she's just like, well, there's nothing you would get more until you gave up to $1,000. And that's when I think you get like the baseball hat and maybe an autograph picture of his, which I'm sure he signs all of those.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, well, here's the thing. I don't
need... He's got an unpaid intern stamping each
one.
Yeah,
his unpaid intern is named Xerox.
He works very hard.
No, you have to pay Xerox.
Yeah, it's some no-name... It's Trump copiers, which they start to work, but then they break down, and then they blame you as the reason why they're not being able to do the job. And
well, you can only cram so many Trump steaks into the Trump copiers before you have problems.
And it also went to Trump University. Yeah. I mean, so you
that's
get
where
what
they're
you
based out of.
Yeah. So okay, here's the thing. I'm like, right, here's the thing now. If I give $100, I don't need me no four bumper stickers, right? I already got seven of them on my truck. Okay, I don't need any more. I'm just wondering. Okay, here's the thing. Did you watch the debates the other night? And she's just like, yeah, I did. I'm like, oh, thank you. Now, here's the thing.
She sounds so broken.
Oh, well, she sounded like very self-loathing. Like she didn't really want to, because she's a woman, obviously. And I think she
wanted to work for Hillary, yeah. And they were full.
Yeah. So I'm just like, here's the thing. I was at my bar the other night. I was watching the debates, had me a couple drinks. You know, I love me some Jesus, but I do drink a bit. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm getting pretty plowed. And you will not believe this. Some Arab dude comes sit right next to me.
Arab.
In the United States of America, this motherfucker has nerve. I didn't swear, but this guy has nerve sit down next to me. Now, my question to you, Marianne, is how much money would I have to donate to the Donald Trump campaign so that I'd be able to go over to this guy's house and burn it to the ground? How much would I have to do? And she's like, excuse me? I'm like, well, here's the thing. Where I work, I had me a couple accidents. Like I said, I do drink a bit. And I got me some settlement checks. So I got some money to throw around. So I was wondering, if I threw like maybe $10,000 at Donald Trump, would I be able to burn this guy's house down?
And she, you know what's really funny about your voice, Jim?
What's that?
Is you sound a little bit like Court's George W. Bush, the early years.
Oh, early yeah. years.
There's just a hint of it in there.
I think that kind of bled in. But she's like, she's trying to comprehend what I'm trying to say, and then be like, "Well, no, you can't do that." I'm like, "All right, well, here's the thing. Once Trump gets into office, and you know he's gonna win, he's gonna be our next president. He's gonna kick all these guys out of the country. He ain't gonna need his house. I just want to burn it to the ground. So, what do you think? Like $20,000? Would that be enough?" And she's like, "Well, no, sir, you can't do that." I'm like, "All right, for $30,000, you drive a hard bargain, lady. I'm just saying." And this went on for about 4 minutes. And Malia actually took her phone out and put on she video recorded it and handed it to me. So I basically recorded myself with this woman on speakerphone, and I'm just browbeating her and talking about how, you know.
You have got to send us the audio. We will include it on this podcast. I am not joking, Jim. Send me that now.
I will get it to you. But yeah, it broke down into... you know, I'm just like, because, you know, Donald Trump's going to be the next, you know, she's like, you can't burn some guy's house. I'm like, well, you're just saying that because that other fellow's in the White House right now. Once Donald Trump gets in there, and it is the White House, by the way, the White House, like, every horrible thing I could think of to throw at this woman. And she's just like, sir, if you're not going to donate, I'm going to have to hang up the phone. I'm just like, well, I'm trying to donate.
I'm trying to donate.
Trying to give you some money. Trying to help out. Trying to do my part as an American. Because Lord knows that woman ain't going to... A woman in Congress. Can you believe that? I mean, come on. You know once she gets in, he's going to kick them all out. It's going to be only man. Man only in Congress. And that's what God intended. How many female apostles do you remember? None. And like I said, this went on for about 4 minutes. And then finally Malia's just like, Cleet, the dogs are getting out. Or something like that. I can't remember what she said.
You have to send that audio. Oh, Jim.
No, it was,
oh, you are a genius.
Yeah, it was one of my
favorite
moments.
You are such a genius.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, God bless you, Jim.
I try.
Big Jim for president. That's all I'm saying. I'm sorry. Cleet Michelob for president.
Fuck Bill Michelob. The first.
The first. I think that'd be more like the second or the third.
Yeah, well, depending
Jim,
on the years ahead.
Seriously, brother, I applaud you. Bravo. Yeah. Well done.
And Malia's like, what if they call back? I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're not going to call back.
No, they're, when he calls back, you answer now. A steak knife, yeah. And you go another as a black man supporting Trump.
Mexican. Yeah, I can do all kinds of different ethnicities.
Yeah. A black KKK member.
Yeah! My name's Trayvon, but I'm... A high wizard in the KKK. I see you got me doing the damn accent now.
Well, that's the funny thing, too, is I asked her if she was going to vote for Trump, and she refused to answer that question. Like, you're voting for him, right? And she's like, sir, if you're not going to donate, I'm going to have to hang up the phone.
So you were talking to a Hillary supporter working for Trump. Well done, Jim.
Yeah, you know, it's all the luck of the draw.
Oh, God, I wish we could... I wish we could get you into that rally, just so you could like live stream the audio for the show.
I think I would probably just, you know, swallow my own brain, you know, even in jest.
Dude,
like I did that.
This would be like the ultimate first viewing commentary. The funniest thing we ever did because it would be live.
Yeah. Well, even so, I'm sure tickets aren't exactly free. So
no, and I wouldn't want to put you in danger because you know us in our commentaries, and if you were doing that live, you would piss off so many people, and you would get lynched.
And there's
I don't want to risk your life.
Yeah,
for the sake of one or two jokes.
Yeah. In loving memory. Of
I'm sorry, one or 2,000 jokes.
Yeah. I just saw an article this morning that allegedly he broke the Cuban embargo
shocking
a few years ago
shocking
a couple decades ago.
Trump did
what?
Yeah,
interesting.
How dare you, sir?
Yep.
How dare you blaspheme our next president,
future president?
Let's be honest,
I almost said that with a straight face.
Chancellor for life is really the title he's
chancellor for life. I heard he was going to change his name to Emperor Palpatine.
See, I was going to go Emperor Trump, and you know,
he wouldn't give up his last name.
No. That's his brand. I mean, can't get rid of that.
He's a good guy. He's a good people. He went to Trump University. He learned well. He's a good student.
Look, Trump Vader is going to be leading us, the first thing he's going to do is
build a giant
space station and take out the Mexicans.
Yeah. And the space station's going to be just like he is.
Yeah.
Guys, are we mixing our fantasy realms here? I feel probably. Like we're mixing genre. I don't know.
I think it'll end up more like Mad Max.
Well, when he's done, yeah, within a few years. I seriously predict that there will be a world war if he makes it into office.
Definitely.
Within a
and
year of his
presidency.
And we will
be the bad guys in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We will be the villains. He's already alien. He's not even in office, and he's already alienated the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Well, the Republicans.
I mean, none of them want him.
Even Canada hates him. Fucking Canada hates him, and they hate nothing. They are the nicest people in the world, and Canada can't stand him.
Yeah, if he gets in, Canada's going to build a wall, and he's going to make America pay for it.
And that'll suck because we'll already be in debt for that Mexican wall
that
Mexico was supposed to. They reneged on.
Yeah.
Bastards.
You guys made a late payment.
Jesus Christ.
We're doomed if he...
I honestly feel Trump's campaign of hatred against immigrants is not dissimilar from Hitler's hatred and vitriol of the Jewish people. The problem is because we're so far removed from that that we as a people don't recognize that.
Yeah.
Well, no.
At least in America, because in Europe they fucking recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So and his. And I think President Obama said it best the other day when he was talking about you cannot call it Islamic terrorist because then it makes it seem like you're after a religion.
Yeah.
And you're not. We are not going after Islamic people. We're going after people...
The extremists.
Exactly. Yeah. And
because there's extremists on all sides.
Yeah. And
yes.
Christian extremists are the most terrifying of all because they feel that they're just as righteous... And they have the government in their back pocket. So if you oppose them, you oppose America, you're part of the problem. Suddenly you're on the terrorist watch list.
And you're more likely to get killed in America by a Christian extremist than a Islamic extremist.
The fact of the matter is we're in very dangerous territory here because it's... The people who are the most... noticeably angry, upset, causing death and destruction are people of Muslim faith. There's no question about that.
Yeah. I don't know but, if I can really agree because of the simple fact
I should
that,
specify that
because of the simple fact that
the ones that we're
go ahead.
I think the ones that are making the headlines, the ones that are being pushed out there by news organizations are of Muslim faith. The ones that we know of are of
the ones that
typically
we see most often
exactly.
on the news, on TV.
And because of 9/11, they're really bringing this all to the forefront. For the last, 15 years? It's been all about Muslim hate.
Yeah.
And we're hating people based on their religion. And that's unfair, and that's wrong. That's essentially profiling. Yeah. It's a known fact that worldwide Muslim people number in the millions,
billions.
Yeah. If they wanted us dead, they could easily wipe us out.
It's kind of like the war on drugs. There's more money to be made. Acting like you're fighting it than there is to actually address the problem and fix the issues that are at hand. This country has been pumping weapons into the Middle East for at least the past 15, if not more, years. So
50.
So basically they are playing both sides of this war and then demonizing one while at the same time trying to glorify our actions as if they're any better.
We've been selling weapons to the Middle East since at least the Reagan.
Oh yeah, all the North, you know.
Exactly. I mean, they're so we are responsible for arming our enemies essentially.
Well, that and
we're not completely responsible because a lot of the weapons, if you
they were stolen from military bases.
Well, not only that, but if you see that the weapons that most of them carry are Russian-made weapons. So
well, I think we're selling them. Russian-made weapons because they're more...
They're cheaper?
The environment there, the AKs are more forgiving. Mm. They need less maintenance than, the ARs do. So they can be dropped in the sand, used for a couple days, and then cleaned, where the ARs have to be cleaned every fucking day. Yeah.
So,
but not only that, but there's, like you said, Jim, there's money to be made in promoting that. And there's also ratings to be gotten through essentially promoting hatred. Because as you and I both know from working in the media, if it bleeds, it leads.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that gets higher ratings than, 7 million people dead is hatred. Yeah. And... it's easy to push and promote the hatred of Muslim people because of 9/11.
You sell the hatred.
It's still so fresh.
Justify doing horrible, horrible things because then it's not viewed as being a monster. It's viewed as being a hero. you know, if you create this boogeyman, if you vilify this group of people, this faith, this whatever, to such a degree, then people will get whipped up into such a frenzy. Like, well, if you don't just nuke them off the planet, then you're just, you know, you're not fighting hard enough. You're not doing the right thing. You're not protecting your country, and that's what you need to be doing.
And that's do you guys? I'm sorry, Bryce. I didn't mean to cut you off. But do you guys think that, God forbid, Trump actually makes it in office?
Would he use a nuke?
No. Do you foresee Muslim concentration camps in America?
I would say without doubt.
It would be. I'm sorry. Internment camps.
Yeah. It would be called concentration. It would be.
We did it to the Japanese in World War II, and we knew it was wrong when we did it. I mean, these people were American citizens.
Yeah.
But the fear was so prevalent, you know. And I don't know my history well enough to know if we repaid the people we interned or if it was just...
No.
I didn't think we did because we're assholes. Yeah. But do you guys foresee something like that were to happen? He's preying so much on hatred and fear.
There was a law that Obama signed into effect, and it was like, I think it was like New Year's Eve a number of years ago, and basically what it says is that the police have the right to arrest you, detain you indefinitely, and you have no right to a legal counsel. You have no legal right to a fair trial. You can basically just be disappeared, and it is completely within the law. There's some fancy term for it, but Obama signed it into law, and it was one of those things where, hey, by the way, Brad and Angelina are fighting again, so let's focus on that. No, by the way, over here, this also happened. So it got very little attention, and Obama was quoted as saying, like, I'm signing this into law. I will never enforce it or allow it to be enforced, but that does not say anything about the next guy in the door. And if we're staring down this Cheeto-skinned psychopath that, you know, is gathering more and more hate mongers, and that's the thing, is like, it boggles my mind that there are this many people that are actually like, you know, he's going to be a president, he's a great businessman, which he's not. No,
he's totally going to exploit that, and we're going to, you know, families are going to be wiped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You know, because... Because of the color of their skin, or the choice in the God that they believe in,
yeah,
you know, and I think that's wrong. Speaking of presidential things, Obama vetoed the thing that says
the Saudi Arabia.
We could sue Saudi Arabia, and then Congress totally overrides it.
Yep.
Do they not remember 1944?
Clearly not.
When we almost wiped out Japan completely.
Yeah.
Like, Obama's right. This sets a precedence. If we can sue Saudi Arabia for 9/11, which I don't understand how that's possible, because given all the stuff, wasn't that more Afghanistan?
They were Saudi-based terrorists. And I believe that they had some governmental resources that they had gotten. I'm not sure on all the details, but this sets a precedent that
Japan, Korea, Vietnam, Kuwait, Libya, the list goes on and on.
It opens a very, very dangerous door.
Exactly, and I think that Congress is, again, because 9/11 is still so fresh, I mean, we're 15 years off, but it's still so fresh that it's still, we want to get them back. And I think the first person to file a lawsuit, Japan's going to go, oh, hey, remember that time you dropped two bombs on us?
Yeah. Not on military sites either. These were like downtown...
Civilian, yeah. Just like
that, and that got into an argument with a teacher in high school about that, because he was talking about how it was needed to show the Japanese just how serious we were. That, you know, they'll say they'll fight to the last man, and you know, this war was getting, you know, more and more bloody. And he's like, you know, this is basically, you know, setting a precedent that, like, you know, this is how far we're willing to go. And I say, I mean, even if that's the case, why drop it on, like, you know, men, women, and children just living their lives in their homes? I mean, I'm sure there's some of those people that may or may not have agreed with what the government was doing, but they didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. They were vaporized in one of the most terrifying things. And we did that. That's the kind of thing where if another country did it, we would march in there, you know, tomorrow or later today.
We would annihilate them.
You know,
yeah.
To write that.
And it was a calculated choice to force the Japanese government out of the war. Because there was the potential, we'd already done it twice, who's to say we wouldn't do it a third time in Tokyo or wherever. We used it to force them out of the war faster because they would have had an uprising if they didn't. Because that would...
Well, it's like Jim said, the war had gone on for 3 years at that point, I believe. And I should know this because I love World War II history. It's one of the darkest times in humanity.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a very bright time for Americans as far as what we can do as a nation if we pull together and put aside our differences. It's also a dark time in American history, like I said, because we were imprisoning American Japanese simply based on the fact. And I don't think it was Japanese either. I think it was or I believe it was Japanese, but it was also Koreans, anyone Asian, simply because, you know, not to sound racist, but Americans were like, oh, you got slanty eyes and yellow skin. Get in that camp, you fucker.
Yeah.
You know, it's bullshit, but I mean, that's what it is. And I think we were fighting a very long campaign over a very huge arena. The Pacific Ocean is huge. Yeah. And all the islands we were fighting to take back, which weren't even ours, we were just gaining ground, essentially. But the conditions were such that it was hard to get supplies to our people. It was brutal conditions. It was just a terrible, terrible mess. And the Japanese had been dug into these islands for years before we even started coming there. So we were, even though we were gaining ground, we were losing the whole time, and we were running short on resources there. And on top of that, we were split thin because we were helping in the European arena.
Yeah.
So, you know, coming up with these devastating bombs and just using two and showing the lengths we would go to win, essentially, I mean, it was brutal. You know, and Bryce is right. Well, if they hadn't given up as quickly as they did after that, who's to say that we wouldn't have just completely nuked all
island.
Of Japan?
Yeah.
You know, and Japan is not a big island. So, I mean, I think they saw that and went,
we're out.
You know, there's a reason they said when they hit Pearl Harbor, one of the famous quotes was, we've awoken a sleeping giant.
Yeah. And it's just...
And we've had that reputation. We've lived on that reputation for, you know, almost 100 years.
Yeah.
And I think now, you know, it's almost got there's kind of this prison mentality. Like, a lot of countries want to come in and, like, take out the biggest dog in the yard to become the biggest dog. And I think America's, you know, for however long it's been, we've kind of been walking the walk. And the rest of the world is kind of sick of it, you know?
Yep.
So I think that's why we're the target of so much hate. But hate, as we see, hate only breeds hate.
Yeah. And even consider the compromise for peace, or at least a peaceful resolution, is now viewed as weakness and is considered anti-American. You know, American
take,
stand
take
and
the
fly,
Iranian
you know.
Deal.
No, Bryce said it with the Iranian deal.
That's exactly what those sanctions were designed to do, was to force them to the table so that we could de-escalate their nuclear capabilities.
Well, and then it's like, you know, Obama is, you know, he's fucking criticized for giving them money, but that money isn't, it wasn't for, you know, hostages or something. It was for a whole separate issue.
Yeah.
And honestly, when you look at the breakdown, it's kind of a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
But because Iraq's in the Middle East and they're Muslim people, it's seen as wrong.
Yeah.
And politics is nothing if not compromise.
But it's...
And Obama compromised for a peaceful solution to something that could have, could potentially, in who knows how many years, been devastating to our country.
It may still.
So, yeah, I mean, there's no, we can sit here and play quarterback politician all we want, but yeah. We don't, unfortunately, we don't have all the facts.
Is that a Sega Genesis game?
Yes.
It
did not sell well.
There's a Kickstarter for a game called Presidential Knife Fight. And it's like a card game, apparently.
Shut up and take my money.
I know, right?
Two presidents enter. One president leaves.
Yeah.
All right, first rule of Presidential Knife Fight Club.
We do not talk about Presidential Knife Fight Club.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the fact remains that as much information as there is out there, we don't know all the facts.
Yeah.
You know, and we could sit and research all we want, but we still will not get the full picture.
And all...
So we can't sit here and play judge, jury, and executioner over decisions that we don't have all the facts for.
But what we're stuck with is how popular media or how the media covers these stories. What stories they choose to cover, which stories they choose to ignore, what stories
and how they're presented.
What stories they use to kind of blind you or distract you while other more important stories are completely ignored, if not blacked out completely. And all that really does, in all sincerity, is it gets the hate mongers and, for lack of a better term, the idiots, gets them riled up and, you know, and motivated. And those of us with half a brain in our heads and actual like concern about the repercussions of what we're doing. Like, we're not just going to make paint the entire planet red, white, and blue, and everyone's going to thank us for our troubles. You know, there is going to be repercussions. And just because you got your pickup truck with a shotgun in the back doesn't mean it's going to stop fucking anything. So those of us that are left with a brain in our heads are crippled with fear and anxiety. Many of our friends on Facebook have already said, our friend Dawn Taylor, she's one that has a lot of issues with depression and anxiety. I got other friends as well, comedians especially. You know, you'd figure this would be a banner time for comedians because they got nothing but, you know, fodder to pull from. But it's a terrifying time, especially if you have kids. Or especially if you care about what's going to happen, not like years down the road, but in a couple of months. Because what is the world going to do if this, like I said, this fucking mental sociopath somehow manages to trip, fall, and land in the White House? It's like I lose sleep. I lose my appetite. I look at my daughter and I'm thinking, Jesus, what kind of world did I bring this beautiful little angel into? And how can I do anything at all to stop it? Or even make it a little bit better, short of getting her as far the fuck away from it as possible.
Yeah.
Hashtag real talk.
Well, and you said it earlier too, Jim, when you were talking about the president signing into law a thing that can essentially say police can take you away. And then the media said, oh, Brad and Angelina, how much are we not being told? You know,
the only thing you can do is look outside the United States for news stories. There are a wealth of really amazing. Guardian UK is one. I can't think of any others off the top of my head.
Well, I've said this to people all the time. Whenever you post a meme on Facebook, fact check. Yeah. Because I've seen so many fucking memes that are just completely
not
bullshit.
Even just a meme. Fact check the story you're going to repost. Yeah.
Exactly. I almost posted a story after the debates from The New Yorker, I believe.
Yeah.
And
even the big places,
it turned
are,
out it was a fake story. Yeah, and if I hadn't fact checked,
fall victim to fake stories.
Yeah, you gotta be careful in this day and age what you post, because a lot of times what you post could be satire. It could be an opinion piece. You need to do your research before you start posting that stuff around, because you could be. My fucking cousin, as much as I love her, she posted that Brad Pitt died. He committed suicide. I was like, well, that's not right. And it's like, I had to point out to her that it was a hoax, and she reposted the story again. And again, I had to go, he's still alive. And the thing is she posted it because it had a Fox News logo on the bottom of.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't read the story. She didn't look into it. She didn't go, just double check on one place.
Yeah.
Just put in a Google search, is Brad Pitt dead?
Yeah.
Comes up, no, it's a hoax.
Because if it happened and somebody found out about
the internet would have broken.
Yeah.
It would have been everywhere.
Women would be throwing themselves out of buildings.
They still got George Clooney.
True, but he's getting long in the tooth, bro. I mean, some guys get more attractive as they get older, but there's a ceiling.
There's a pinnacle, yeah. And he's just slightly over that.
Speaking
pinnacle.
On behalf of all drop dead gorgeous men, I feel the need to weigh in here, so. Unfortunately, I gotta get going. I gotta go pick up.
We should have just been silent.
I gotta
go
pick up my daughter for her doctor appointment. But like I said, I'm wide open at this point. So if you guys want to do this again next Friday, or keeping it going, I'm your guy until I find another job, win Powerball, or move the fuck out of the country. Snow style.
Well, out of the country, you can't get away. Skype works across the world, so yeah.
You'll never get away from us.
And Powerball, we're going to call in a lot of debts.
I heard Bree just cackle in the background, just like a chill went over my spine.
Well, Jim, thanks again.
Jim, we love you, buddy. It's always good talking to you.
I love you guys, too. My love to your significant others. And let's just tune in next time for our next... what is the next debate?
It's
scheduled for...
October, mid-October, I think.
We'll
have to look it up.
Either way.
That's too much work. Yeah. It's just too much work.
And I
work.
Think this one we may actually have to watch. I think that'll be our assignment.
Yeah, I think... yeah, I just... But yeah, we're all going to have to suck it up and watch the whole thing.
It's called whiskey, fellas. Get on early and often.
Anytime Donald Trump's
there isn't enough whiskey in the world... Yeah.
Have poison control and speed dial just in case. Drink responsibly, fellas.
Jim, we love you. We'll talk to you next
Stay
time.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
See ya.
See ya.
And that's it for us. We're going to get on out of here. Next week, hopefully something more lighthearted, because honestly, there goes Jim. Yeah. The transporter worked. you think he got his head on backwards via Spaceballs? That'd be... pretty fucked up. Next week, hopefully, we'll try and keep it more lighthearted.
Yeah.
But it probably won't. Probably. So, see ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.